We made it. Yes, it is March. We have transitioned from February and we're still loving Jesus. If you're excited about Christ and all that he's doing in your life, just give him a hand clap of praise, some emoticons in the chat. Just lift up those hands, just thanking him for another day of life and health. As we prepare ourselves to go into the message today, I just want you to be thinking about where your heart is. Yeah, where your heart is. In these tedious times, it seems like so many ups and downs as we look at politics around the world, stresses within relationships and families. It is so good to know that God is still in charge. As always, want to thank you so much for being living epistles, being examples of Christ in this dark world. He's put his light on the inside of us via the Holy Spirit so that we can shine that. As we have been thinking about back to the basics, I want you to continue to share your testimony, share what Jesus has done for you. We've got so much during the week to encourage us in that walk. We've got our Monday manna at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection, our Tuesday noonday Bible study, where we're going through the book of Genesis to help us and assist us to understand how God uses the Old Testament and the New Testament to transform us into his likeness. And then on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, we have the book of Luke. I think we're going to finish this week. We're in that last chapter and we'll be transitioning to the book of Hebrews. Then on Thursdays, we have our in-person Bible study from 6 to 7, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And as always, continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person service, 10:45 in-person service, and yes, our 10 o'clock online that God has allowed to reach so many people. I want to thank you so much for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we can grasp the fact that we can purpose in our heart, we can give not grudgingly or of necessity, because God has been our provider. Any amens out there? He has been such a good father. Well, I am ready to get into the word today. We all are going to be blessed as the Holy Spirit ministers us as we grow together. I want you to prepare your hearts and think about how good God has been to you. We will see you soon.
This was one of my favorite scriptures that after I got saved and started really just committing my life to the Lord and just trying to stay in the way of God. And sometimes the past will creep up. And people will remember my past. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen.
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 Let me live, blessed Lord, in the light of thy word. Let my life be a light on a hill, leading souls now astray to the straight, narrow way. Help me do some good deeds while I live. Let my life be a light shining all through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold, spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light. was a god. Help me rescue someone sinking now with no hope that in heaven we shall ever abide. So let my life be a light shining all through the night. May I help struggling one to the floor.
It is so good to know that we can trust in Jesus, that he is with us everywhere we go. Well, as we get back to the basics, I pray and believe that we all have been growing together, just getting to know the Lord in a more intimate way that we can stand strong and be an example of who he is in this dark world. I say that so often. It is. There are a lot of challenges, but God has left us here for a purpose. We've been going through that memory scripture in James chapter 1, 26 and 27, simply so we can get it into our mind, it can seep into our hearts, and we can apply it. We can begin to walk this out. This is basics of being a Christian. So if you don't mind, if you would read this aloud wherever you are with me, James 1, 26. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I tell you, that's a heavy thought when we begin to apply it and walk it out in our life. Well, on this Sunday in this message, we're going to get back to the subtopic of Back to the Basics of salvation. We've been about three Sundays here as someone gave me that topic from the congregation, just really wanting to know and to see the mechanics of how the Holy Spirit moves in as far as saving us and delivering us. Today, I want us to go to Acts chapter 28 and the 27th verse. We've been dealing with Paul the Apostle and how he's being used of the Lord, and his main priority is to lift up Jesus. Before we get into this section, I ask you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy, Lord. In times such as this, we thank you that you are our Savior, you are our Lord, and you're still in the saving business. Lord, I pray that if there's someone listening or viewing that does not know you, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said, Lord, they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Holy Spirit, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and we welcome you in this place. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just put in the chat, amen, wherever you're standing or sitting, say amen. Let's jump into this section, Acts 28, 27. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. I want to speak from a title today, Heart Trouble. Yes, heart trouble. It's been interesting as I look at our society. There have been so many stresses that have been put upon it. It seems like relationships are breaking apart. We've got divisive political factions that are occurring. We even have churches falling out with one another and so many things. And I believe as we study today and go into this, it is all focused on what's going on in the heart. From last time we were in Acts 26:28, dealing with that Paul the Apostle, when he was giving his testimony before King Agrippa. You remember that? Then Agrippa said, "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian." And that title was almost. Just some points in review to kind of get us to where we're going today. We're at Paul's end of a life, and we learned from last Sunday, you must see the light. He knows your name. Jesus is his name. A call on your life. Trust and obey. It will draw you or drive you. Intelligence in the heart, and 100%. And I wanted to bring that point because Paul the Apostle is 100% in. As he is in the Roman area around 60 AD, he is appealed to Caesar. And literally, theologians hold that this is the end of his life, that eventually he will be beheaded, all for the sake of the cross, for Christ. But we find him in a secured house. They've allowed him to be in his own house under prison guard. And guess what he's doing? At the end of his life, he is sharing Jesus the Christ. Let's jump into this section of scripture today, Acts 28:23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Here's our first point, sharing Christ in your house. Yes, sharing Christ in your house. Here's a question. I want you to get it in your mind. What is your house being used for? Yes, what is your house being used for? Some loose statistics that actually state that we spend 62% of our life in our house. I want to say that again. 62% of our life in our house. That's heavy. Just put in the chat, 62. And so when we kind of think about that, for most people, at least 50% of your income, their income is actually spent on mortgage or rent. So got 62% of our life spent in our house, and we've got 50% or more, and it seems to be going up, of our income, what we work at our jobs to actually pay for our mortgages or our rent. That is a lot of investment within our homes. And so that question is, so what are we doing with it? You know, sadly, some people, you know, live in certain neighborhoods and certain places, and they're working so hard to live in those neighborhoods and certain places, and so tired that they're not using the investment, what God has given them, to actually invest in other people's lives. We've got to make sure that every part of our life, as we've been dealing with salvation and back to the basics, is being used to glorify Christ, to lift him up. Let's look closely at Acts 28:23 again. So when they had appointed him a day, here it is, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. Talking about heart trouble. So Paul the Apostle, he's in this secure location, and he invites people in. They allow him to invite people in. He makes a church out of his home. Yes, he makes a church. He invites people in. He is sharing the good news. Saints, I encourage you, first of all, if you're saved, if you accepted Jesus Christ, find someone to commune with. And that is so important. Relationship building can be powerful. That's why the scriptures say, forsake not the fellowship of the saints, because it is important to get together, to commune, and even connect. I remember growing up in church and my dad being a pastor, just about every Sunday, there would be a saint to invite us over their house. And there were so many relationships that were built up in those sweet times of fellowship around the table, eating food and sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, sharing testimony. The question is, what are you using your house for. Now notice that final part of the scripture. It says from morning till evening. Yes, he had devoted 100% to God. And while he's in that setup, while he's in that house, he is sharing the good news from morning to evening. I know that's not possible for most of us to do that, but we could set aside some time, maybe once every quarter or every 2 weeks or so, to invite someone in so that we can have fellowship and we can share the good news. You say, Pastor, I don't want them to come in my house. Well, there are other opportunities where we could do things, but saints of God, we need to think about, God has blessed us so much. How are we going to bless others? We must take time to think about God's grace and his mercy in our lives and what he's done for us. The Spirit speaks strongly in the book of Hebrews around that 13th chapter and first verse. Listen to this. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I'm just imagining Paul sitting in that rented place, that home, that secured location, waiting for that appeal, waiting to talk to Caesar, getting ready literally to possibly lose his head. But he's like, you know what? My life is about sharing the goodness of the Lord. And saints, we need to reach out. And I know in that scripture said, entertain strangers. You say, Pastor, I am not there. And I get it. Well, let's start out with people that we know and encouraging them and celebrating who Christ is, talking about heart trouble. Look at Acts 28:24. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Here's the point. A choice must be made. Yes, a choice must be made. I want you to put in the chat. I want to slow down here. I must choose. Wherever you're sitting or standing, would you say that? I must choose. All of us have to make a choice. There is no stagnancy. There is no, you know what, I'm just going to kind of sit and not choose. No, whether you're deciding to go one way or the other and you want to be in the middle, there's no middle there. The scriptures talk about, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so in not making a choice, guess what? You make a choice. In sharing the gospel, some will take it, others will leave it. Yes, some will take it, others will leave it. That's the nature of how God uses us. That's the nature of how people and the issues all have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew this in 10, around that 10th chapter in the 14th verse, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, listen to this, shake off the dust from your feet. Everybody's not going to hear us. Jesus recognizes that 15th verse. Surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Yes, God has just called us to share our testimony, share the good news of what God has done on the inside of us, and we cannot control how others receive that. Some of you may have children that are struggling with salvation, and you may be struggling. You're praying for them, but I want to give you some encouragement through the scriptures, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's good news. But there's even encouragement for children on this same accord in Ephesians chapter 6, around that first verse. Children, you belong to the Lord, and you do the right thing when you obey your parents. The first commandment with a promise says, obey your father and your mother, and you will have a long and happy life. Parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly, teach them, and instruct them about the Lord. Isn't that good to know that God has given a promise in there to obey our fathers, to obey our parents, and God has promised that in training and teaching them up, he will come in and he will open up hearts. But to the adults, we see what can happen when heart trouble occurs. Remember Stephen, he's that first martyr. He has given an awesome sermon, a testimony of God and who he is. And you think everybody would have just kind of bowed down to the Lord and say, Lord, come into my heart. But this can happen when heart trouble is there in Acts 7:54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Can you put in the chat, cut, wherever you're standing or sitting, say cut, cut to the heart. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. We've got to notice this thought pattern here. When the word of God comes, we're going to accept it. A choice has to be made, or we're going to go the other way. That 55th verse, but he being full of the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord because they made a choice. They made a choice. I don't want to hear it. I know the word of God is cutting into my heart, but I don't want it. And they're going the opposite direction. 58 verse, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a man named Saul. I just wanted to put that in there. We're talking about Paul. It's that in his day, this is the same one, Saul/Paul, that was converted on the Damascus Road. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Look at that 60 verse. And then they knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge this sin or them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Isn't that wonderful? Even in that midst of them having heart trouble coming against him, literally they will be a part of his death, stoning him. He prays for them. That's our life, that we're going to have people with heart trouble all around, but we never know what God is going to do. Yes, many of them ended up in hell, but Saul was in that group and God was able to transform his heart. Look at Acts 28:25. And so when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, go to this people and say, hear you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Can you put in the chat, dull? That's important. Wherever you're sitting, saying, say dull, dull. And their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Here's the point. Dullness of the heart. Dullness of the heart. I think all of us have used a dull knife at some point, you know, maybe trying to cut bread or trying to cut a cake. And oftentimes that if that dull knife, it's not sharp, it just kind of tears the bread or tears the cake. And it's the same thing, that hearts can just be blunt. They can grow dull in this society. All of us, I say this so often, have sinned. We were conceived in iniquity. The latest data actually indicates that approximately 63% of Americans say that they're Christian. Yeah, can you put 63 in the chat? Wherever you stand and sit and say 63. 63% of Americans identify with Christianity. I know you're doing the numbers. That's about 210 million people say that I identify with being a Christian. If it's that many people that are Christians and we see the state of our world, something's wrong. There's some dullness in some hearts. Something, there's some issues. Are there any amen? Just say amen, hallelujah out there. We must realize that the enemy has come in strong and dullness of hearts have grown. When the people actually began to walk out with Paul, the apostle, as he shared his testimony, sharing the good news, remember, from morning to evening, he quotes actually Isaiah 6:9, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull. Their hearts were dull. Even as Paul the Apostle writes 3/4 of the New Testament sharing the good news, they just didn't want to hear it. And their ears heavy, and they shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Yes, when we accept God's word, that salvation and what the Holy Spirit does in us, we are healed. We are actually transformed from the inside out. But some people will walk away from that healing. The fact is, hear me here, there are some that will never believe. I know that's hard and that's tough and it hurts my heart, but there's some people that have become so hard and reprobate mind. The book of Romans talks about that turning away from the Lord. They will never believe, and that's why we have to pray with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We've got to do what God tells us to do, that as many as possible can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Christ. Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. I know I'm working in the chat. Can you put few, F-E-W, wherever you're standing and sitting? Few. Many are called. God desires all people to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. But the issue is few. There's a few that are actually going to come and wholeheartedly give their lives to the Lord. A question is presented to Christ in which he challenges the dullness that can arise in men's heart. Listen to this, Luke 13:23, heart trouble. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? There's that word again. And he said to them, Luke 13:24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Put narrow in the chat, wherever you're standing, sitting, narrow. It is a narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. That's some tough words, where you are from. And then you will begin to say, we ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Luke 13:27. Listen to this. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Heart trouble. And we've got to recognize there's some that say they know him, but they do not know him. Look at Acts 28:28. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Here's the point. Somebody needs the word. Yes, somebody needs the word. Even though we see mass people exiting out of the faith, turning against God, people having a dullness of the heart when it comes to salvation, somebody needs the word. Can you put in the chat? Somebody. This could be somebody on your job, a family member, a stranger that God allows you to connect at food line or somewhere else that you're at. The Jews, for the most part, had rejected good news. Yes, Jesus is a Jew. He comes out of that line. And for the most part, a majority of the Jews had rejected the good news, that which was prophesied from the Old Testament. So actually, God opens up an avenue for the Gentiles or the heathen to come in. That's us, to actually receive salvation. Somebody needs to hear the word. Romans 10:14 talks about this. How then shall they call on him and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But somebody say, but, put it in the chat, B-U-T, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Heart trouble. We deal with the heart trouble that's in our word, but world, by giving God's word. Yes, by lifting up, by testifying of his goodness and mercy, and really laying out the fact that Christ is still in the saving business. Your co-workers need to hear the word. Yes, your family members need to hear the word. Your friends need to hear the word. Strangers, as said early, they need to hear the word. We must confront the heart trouble with the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at this final verse as we pull it together, Acts 28:29. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Here's the point. Rejection of the gospel leads to confusion. Rejection of the gospel leads to confusion. They have chosen by their own accord to reject the good news. And I know that's tough. You're like, why would anybody reject the good? The same reason we're in this world of darkness and stress and confusion. But in doing that, guess what? They choose that confusion term. They choose to walk into confusion when they turn away from the peace of Christ. Do you know anybody like this? 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Consequently, when people turn away from God, they go into confusion. They actually leave the peace of God that can go beyond all understanding. Can you put in the chat, peace? Can you say peace? It is so wonderful to be saved, to have the peace of God. The Apostle John lets us know the signs of our time. Some years ago, I actually preached on this scripture during COVID time, and it was so clear to me that what was happening in 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. That spirit of Antichrist is here. In any amens out there, it is here. We can see the divisiveness. We can see how confusion, the cloud of confusion, has risen upon our land, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. Ephesians 6:10 gives us some encouragement as we're dealing with the heart trouble. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to read that again, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Can you put in the chat, stand? Yes, as we see the heart trouble arising around us and people just not being willing to grasp hold of the gospel, we've got to stand. We've got to make sure that we stay focused. Saints, this is wartime. We are in a fight for life here. Heart trouble is prevalent in the land. We must know that the man from Galilee, anybody know him? His name is Jesus. He's come from heaven to earth to walk among us, the one who healed the sick and raised the dead. But I'm so glad we know the one that went to the cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet for you and me. And he drops his head in the locks of his shoulder and cries out, "It is finished." Yes, and when he dies on that cross of Calvary, something spectacular happens. They actually come up to the cross, the soldiers, and they usually would break the legs of those who had been crucified to actually get them to die quicker. But when they got to that point, they realized Jesus was already dead, so it was no need to break his legs. But they wanted to make sure, and John 19:33 says this, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." Medical doctor David Truman, associated with Arizona medicine, he writes this. He said, "It is reported that blood and water came out," referring to the watery fluid surrounding the heart and lungs. Yes, our Jesus was broken for our heart trouble. His heart was pierced for the heart trouble of mankind. They put him in a cold grave, I tell you. But 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory for our heart trouble. That's why salvation is spectacular. That's why we can never take for granted what God has done for us, saints. And we've got to share that. We've got to use our homes. We've got to use every resource that God has given us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is still saving, he is still delivering, he is still setting people free. I tell you, that's good news. Saints, it is our obligation to share Christ. Yes, because God has changed us from the inside out, we've got to tell other people. If you don't know Christ today, I pray through these portions of scriptures that God has touched your heart, that you realize, hey, I do have heart trouble, but I want to make a choice to run to him, not away from him. My prayer is that God soften your heart today and that you be willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, said you will be saved. If you've done that, if you've opened your heart to him, I encourage you now, let's walk it. Let's connect with a fellowship and get baptized and share your testimony with someone else. Each one, reach one. To the saints, as we've gone through these scriptures, I pray that you felt that encouragement to share more of the good news of the Lord. God has left us here for a purpose. Let's walk this out, as God can change heart trouble. God can soften hearts, and he can change people to be more like him. Oh, thank God for his grace and mercy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for Paul the Apostle at the end of his life, showing us, giving us example of what we all should be doing, using our resources to glorify you. Lord, we realize some will reject the good news. Some will go the other way with their heart trouble. But we realize some, Lord, you have allowed to open up their hearts, to soften their hearts, that they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Help us, God, as saints of the Most High God, to walk in your way. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your power. And I also thank you, Father, for those that are being saved today and being added to the body. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're doing, even in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on and bless the Lord with me. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Come on and clap your hands with me. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Song with me. Come on and sing your song with me. Come on and sing your song with me. Come on and sing your song with me. Come on and lift your voice with me. Come on and lift your voice with me. Hallelujah. 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 Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me.
and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me.
America, 400 years has come to pass, and deep within my soul are some questions that I must ask. I did not come to spoil this great and happy party, and I ask for your forgiveness if my laugh is not loud and hearty, but I will make myself at home. And I will not be about, for I would not be here at all, America, had it not been for your forefathers 400 years ago. 400 years ago, I stood upon a stage, that one across the waters, with another father's son and another mother's daughter. Oh, this one is tall and thin, but he cannot read and write. 1,000 is the bid for him. I think that price is right, 400 years ago. But now, all that is through. And in this year of 2024, how much am I worth? And to whom? And to whom? And to whom? For I was once a child of the valley, just as lost as I could be. When the Lord came down and he laid his hands on me. And it was on that day that I trembled. And it was on that day that I cried. When he led me out the valley and up a mountainside. And on my face and knees I fell. And God said, son, stand up. And what you see, you tell. He showed me houses made of stone. And he showed me houses made of clay. And he showed me that all things made by man are soon to pass away. He said, behold the mountains, and behold the land and sea. He said, behold the heavens and the earth, for they all belong to me. He said, behold my blessed son, now go back down into the valley and say that God and man are one. America, 400 years has come to pass, and deep within my soul are some questions that I must ask. What are all these weapons for? What are all these weapons for? Fighting is for him who is too weak to think. So please take your guns and your weapons and in the water let them sink. And let there be a song to sing that there is no slave and there is no king. For slave and king are one. And God is all that matters when the matter is said and done. For there is no slave, and there is no king. Let this be our song to sing. And I can sing you songs. I can sing you songs that have been sung for so long. I can sing you marching songs. We shall overcome. I can sing you love songs. Swing low, sweet chariot. And I can sing you moaning songs. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? I can sing you many songs. I can sing you songs that have been sung for so long. But I have seen the shouting squire from 400 years ago. And he said, what did these men learn? And what did those men know? America, 400 years has come to pass. And deep within my soul are some questions I must ask. How much did you lose? And how much did you learn? I know all your evil, but how much did you learn? 400 years? 400 tears? 400 wars? 400 swords? 400 years of greed and lust? 400 years of In God We Trust. America, behold your blessed child a long ways from the Nile. Oh, I do not wish you ill, but I wish you well. And I wish we change before we all die in hell. 400 years of liberty? Do not speak to me of liberty. For liberty is not on earth. Not a man knows liberty if he has suffered birth. So please do not speak to me of liberty by which men boast and bow. For if that justice came to earth, where can we find it now? For God reached out his holy hand and he caused confusion in the land. When? Back then. Why? When they built that tower to the sky. Now you know I do not lie. So please do not speak to me of liberty. For there is no such thing on earth as thee. And do not speak to me of justice by which men boast and bow. For if that justice came to earth, where can we find it now? I said, if God's words didn't make you feel, then speak to me of dreams, for only dreams are real. I said, speak to me of dreams. I said, speak to me of peace and gather up your sticks and let this be a year of love and a year of truth and a year to grow in 2024. For I am the Millennium Poet, here to speak the truth so that our sons and daughters will know it. Is there a celebration in the nation? Did I hear a word called proclamation? Is this a celebration that I see? Why are all the people dancing? Are there any people free? My name is Frederick Douglass. And in my soul, my God lives with me. 400 years has passed, America. I was born with the right of my humanity. My name is Harriet Tubman. And I brought my people to the promised land. 400 years has passed, America. What do you not understand? My name is Paul Laurence Dunbar. And when the slaves began to sing, I cried for love and I cried for peace to come on earth with wings. My name is Marcus Garvey. And I brought my birthday sack, 40 acres and a mule, with the proclamation pack. And my name is Martin Luther King. And my God gave my soul a dream. 400 years has passed, America. What did my bloodshed mean? Is there a celebration in the nation? Did I hear a word called reparations? Is this a celebration that I see? Why are all the people dancing? Are there any people free? I wear the chains that my forefathers wore, but the shape, it is not the same. And they wore them in their sorrow, and they wore them in their shame. But now, today, it is a different story. And I wear the chains that my forefathers wore, but hallelujah, I wear them now in glory. Is there a celebration in the nation? Did I hear a word called salvation? Is this a celebration that I see? Why are all the people dancing? Are there any people free? For I am the Millennium Poet, here to speak the truth so that our sons and daughters will know it. For God gave me the job. is there a celebration in the nation. America, 400 years has come to pass, and deep within my soul are some questions that I must ask. Is there a celebration in the nation? Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I am so happy to be saved in Jesus. Before we actually got to this communion portion, Bianca was singing in the background, "When I See the Blood." And it is so good to know that's what God said with that Passover in the Old Testament. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. He has died for our heart troubles to change our stony and dull hearts and to make them soft for him. And that's what communion is all about. And we celebrate this as often as we can to think about Jesus the Christ. As always, I encourage you, if there's anything in your hearts that you're holding, let it go. Let it go. Ask God for forgiveness right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As you're getting those articles, some of you have the communion cups. If you don't, get you some bread, get you some juice or whatever. The semblance, this symbolizes as we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and get that. Maybe you need to send a text to someone and say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to let it go, because we want to make sure that we take this communion in a worthy manner. So before we go any further, I'm going to ask Bianca if she would pray over the bread and the juice and just welcome God's presence into this place.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, that we might have a real and right relationship with you. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this bread and bless this juice that we are preparing to partake in, which represents the spilt blood and the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask that you would bless it, bless our hearts, Lord, so that we would take it in a worthy manner, Father, in remembrance of your Son Jesus, Lord. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. There's a portion of 1 Corinthians 11 and around that 23rd verse that I often quote, because it really prepares. Paul the Apostle, which we just talked about, gets a revelation of what communion is all about. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you.' In like manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me.'" For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do so in remembrance. We celebrate that he is on his way back. That's good news. So I want you to go ahead and get that bread today. We've examined our hearts, making sure that we're not holding anything. When Jesus went into that upper room with his disciples, he got the bread and he broke it. Go ahead and break it. And he said, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat, let's do it in remembrance of him." Let us eat together. The disciples, their attention is directed to him. And then he picks up that goblet of wine, which would be shared amongst them. And he lifts it up. He said, "This represents my blood that will be shed for you. As often as we drink, let us do it in remembrance of him." Let us drink together. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Saints, we are the blessed of the blessed of the blessed, that God has cured our heart troubles. He's changed us from the inside out. I encourage you, as you go through your day, celebrate who Jesus is, share your testimony of Christ, and know that he is still in the saving business. Until we meet again, you be blessed.